Weekend Huddle here on Saturday morning. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you this morning. And hour number two. So let's start with something a little bit new here. Bold take row. We want your bold take, sports or non-sports. You can text or call us at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And guys, this is just something I thought, you know, we did question of the day when we had Wyman, and I was like, you know, he's not here anymore. I think that needs to go with him. Chase and Big Joe do it anyway. So let's do something a little bit different. Sports or non-sports, I'll take whatever you got. Last week, Parker Kelly and I did it. I had a non-sports one, but you can take it any direction you want to go. Nick Frazier, why don't we start with you?
I'm going to go with the Titans one, and I'm going to say Cam Ward finishes top 20 in passing yards this season. Is that bold enough?
It's pretty broad.
Broad?
Get a little bolder. Yeah. Get a little bolder.
Top 15?
Go ahead and go with your gut. Top 15.
Top
15? Say it with your chest,
yes.
Roger. Come on.
Cam Ward, top 15 passer in the NFL this year.
Would that put him in yards? Offensive rookie of the year discussions?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, yeah, that would put him front.
Jaden Daniels, yeah.
That would put him front runner.
I don't hate it.
You guys know I did say a long time ago, I think Cam Ward's a top 15 quarterback. So, I mean, got to go top 15 in yardage, right? Passing yards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with that.
I don't hate it.
Okay.
I don't hate it at all.
I'm writing these down on my notes. Here we go.
Okay. But should we go full Ian Safar here and just, like, write all these down?
Wallman, get on it. Yeah. Get on it, Wallman.
Nah, it's all right.
I got it.
I have a photographic memory. I'll remember this. I'm like Sheldon Cooper. Parker, what's your bold take for today?
You ready for a smoking hot take?
Well, you just gave us a smoking hot segment that I
did,
I felt,
and I'm going to follow it up. Now, I don't try to make my media living off of hot takes and clicks, but today I'm feeling extra spicy. So, you ready for this, guys?
Okay.
John Gruden will be the next head coach at the University of Arkansas.
Oh.
Wow.
See, Jake Lyman and I talked about this earlier in the week. I don't know if he fits that program as well as he would fit other SEC programs.
Well, here's the thing. Sam Pittman, loved the guy. And yeah. I have never talked to somebody that doesn't like Sam Pittman. Arkansas fans are they're kind of around the same belief. They don't want to fire Sam Pittman, but if the results aren't there, they may have no choice. And I feel like that program wants a winner. And John Gruden, I believe he you heard him when he was talking to the Georgia football team, he wants to get back to coaching and he wants to coach in the SEC. Tell me a better duo in terms of excitement for Arkansas fans than John Gruden and John Calipari.
Oh my God, it makes me want to throw...
The Johns. Johns 2.0.
Yeah, get ready for years of disappointment.
And this is no... Because I love Sam Pittman, and if he happens to be listening to this, like... I don't want him to get fired, but if the results are not there, they may have no choice.
I can think of a more exciting football-basketball duo involving John Gruden. John Gruden and Mark Pope. Make it happen.
That
could happen.
I thought you were going to say John Gruden and Rick Barnes, because that would
Rick
be
Barnes
exciting.
Rick Barnes is about to like fade away into the ether. He's so old, so he's not exciting at all.
What does John Rothstein call him? The Pope? Or no, that's Mark Pope. Reverend?
The Reverend.
Reverend, yeah.
Reverend Rick. Reverend Rick. My hot take is involving basketball, of course. Maybe a little bit of Big Blue Homerism here, but I believe that if he had not been hurt, if he had not been battling ACL knee injuries his whole career, John Wall would be more impactful for the game of basketball than Stephen Curry.
Whoa. What? We're talking about a guy that made three-point shooting cool in Steph Curry.
Look outside. Look at back at the college era. John Wall is the man who made college basketball cool again at that 2009-2010 season. That Kentucky team, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Eric Bledsoe, Patrick Patterson, John Calipari's first year. He made it cool again. He made the dance. There were songs written about him. Go watch the video of his first game in D.C. where it's, "Welcome to D.C., John Wall!" And he's doing the whole Dougie dance. I believe that if John Wall had not been hurt and did not stop performing at the level he was performing, we would be talking about him pop culture, like to the level of LeBron James and Michael Jordan. We would see kids wanting to be John Wall. You know, John Wall, not a not as good a shooter as Stephen Curry. And I'm not saying Stephen Curry still wouldn't be the best shooter in basketball, but I'm saying from a pop culture standpoint, look, Nick Frazier's doing the dance right now. From a pop culture standpoint, I think John Wall would be more impactful for the game of basketball than Stephen Curry is.
I'd have to agree to that. You're looking at a guy that's a sucker for John Wall. I'll never forget, I was at Memorial Gym. I saw John Wall play with DeMarcus Cousins, and I had the most fun watching that game just because those guys were just on a whole nother level. And he's right. I think if John Wall did not get hurt, basketball would be completely different.
John Wall, that's what Ja Morant reminds me so much of. John Wall, I thought was better than Derrick Rose at the time. I thought was better than maybe not Dwayne Wade, but I thought he had the potential to be better.
Yeah, he had that pedigree.
He had superstardom, like maybe one of the best NBA draft prospects we've ever seen was John Wall. And unfortunately, his career was just derailed in Washington and was never the same. He went to Houston and played 40 games.
He really fell off the abyss.
Less than half.
I mean, just unfortunate injury luck. But
I want to see him on the Kentucky coaching staff. I think Mark Pope should bring him in and just be like a guard guru and be like, teach these young bucks how to play. I think
would be an amazing hire.
He'd be a great
That would be
coach.
An amazing hire.
I think he'd be a great coach because he's one of those guys, you know, how John Gruden loves football. He doesn't like it.
He loves it.
John Wall loves basketball. And I think, you know, I truly think he would be more impactful for the game.
And like, if he went back to Kentucky, a place where he's just beloved.
Yeah.
I feel like he would just hit it out of the park.
I mean, he's been on record saying, if NIL was a thing back in his day, he would have played all 4 years just because he loves that school and he loves that city of Lexington. I think, you know, if he didn't get hurt so early in his career, John Wall would have the reputation of an early Derrick Rose. He would have been an MVP and he would have been.
I can totally see that.
And I think we get to the point where John Wall is, you know, just the way he played the game and the way he revolutionized inside cutting basketball and, you know, dunking on these big guys, I think he would have been more impactful for the game of basketball than Stephen Curry.
You talk about Chicago being a sports town back in those early Derrick Rose days.
Derrick Rose is one of my favorite players of all time, but John Wall will always be number one for me just because that was my first Kentucky team I remember watching. He was my favorite player on that team. And then that kind of set off the I followed him in Washington. I wasn't a Wizards fan, but I followed his career. And then I always wanted to see him in Memphis, and it never happened.
So Steph Curry made three-point shooting what it is today.
Yeah.
So what would John Wall have – what would his impact be in terms of what Steph Curry had?
Energy. I think you would be comparing him to the play style – not the play style, but –
Michael, like ball handling?
Ball handling, absolutely. Michael Jordan has the reputation of he could just take the game and do whatever he wanted with it. John Wall, not to the same level of Michael Jordan, of course, but John Wall kind of had that in college and early in his NBA days before he got hurt, where if he had the ball in his hand, you had no idea what was going to happen, but you would kind of just watch to see what he would do. I think that would be amplified to the point. And I still think we're talking about Steph Curry as an electric shooter, maybe one of the greatest of all time. But I think John Wall, from, like I said, pop culture standpoint, he had the dance. He had the attitude that everyone loves.
I remember the John Wall dance.
Everyone knows the John Wall
dance. He used to do
it
in the locker room in high school.
He's got he does it to the Dougie song. I mean, you would see him in movies doing it, and you would see him in commercials, and he would just be such a pop culture staple that I think he would be a more impactful figure than Stephen Curry was.
Yeah, and to the basketball point as well, I think he made the big man down low more important to the game.
Yes.
I think because you talk about... Yeah, you talk about playmaking, talk about ball handling. I mean, he made DeMarcus Cousins look like a five-time NBA champion.
DeMarcus Cousins is another one that if he wasn't hurt so much, he would have dominated the league, like to the level of Shaq.
Yeah, and that. Thank you for bringing up Shaq, because I think that's what John Wall would have done with whatever big man he was paired with in the NBA, would have basically emphasized that big man's role times 10 and would have been another Shaq-Kobe combo. And I think that's the trajectory NBA would have went in that direction rather than going with these super teams.
Yep. I completely agree. Like, John Wall was never on a super team. He was in the Washington Wizards organization, which is a historically terrible organization.
Do you think that's what's contributed to the downfall or the demise of the NBA as the super team?
Yes. And I think it's just the neglect of fundamental basketball where, you know, we're not getting back on defense.
Because Jokic is playing point center.
Yeah.
And I can remember when I was playing basketball growing up, I was always the tallest guy on my team. No, so I never played.
I was never allowed to.
Right. And then when I got to college and I'd play intramurals, I didn't really know how to handle the ball because I was always playing in the paint. And they'd let me come out and shoot threes, but, like, that's about it.
Yeah.
I bet you were a beast down low.
I had a lot of fun. I prided myself on footwork, having good footwork in the paint.
Well, you were quarterback, so you kind of had to.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a Charles Barkley.
I feel like almost. That's what contributed was the quarterback. It helped me with my footwork.
I could sit here and talk about John Wall all day, but I want Jake Wallman to give his bold take. Go ahead, sir.
All right, gentlemen. So I'm going to go with college football for my first bold take. I am not buying the hype on South Carolina.
That's what he said last week.
Oh, have you been listening to the air raid, buddy?
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
I just, you know, that you look at their schedule, you know, road games at LSU, at Ole Miss, at A&M, and there's one more that I'm leaving out.
They have a ton. They have a ton in the back half.
That's
Clemson.
A tough, tough schedule. And, you know, they do get a break with Alabama at home.
But even then, it's Alabama.
And I think, you know, Kalen DeBoer could be kind of – I don't want to say he's coaching for his job this year too, but Brian Kelly definitely is. And I just – you know, they make a change with offensive coordinator, you know, after Dowell Loggins leaves, go to App State. And I'm not buying the hype on them. I think Shane Beamer's kind of a goofball. And
that seems to be the thing every Tennessee fan says. And I've watched the SEC doc and, you know, I can kind of see it, but I like Shane Beamer.
I personally like Shane Beamer.
He's all right.
I think he's funny.
Derek Dooley went to... Now he's a politician. Yeah. I can see Shane Beamer being a politician.
Senator Derek Dooley to you, sir.
Senator, sorry.
I don't know. He just gives me the vibe of like Eli Drinkwitz. Just like a little bit.
Yes. I think anybody's on Eli Drinkwitz.
No, I think Eli's on the opposite scale of things. I think Shane Beamer's dorkiness is kind of endearing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, look at that. He's funny, but he's kind of a goofball.
He's a history buff. He loves history.
Eli Drinkwitz.
Yep, Dorkwitz. See, it's catching on.
I do not like that dude.
No, I don't like him either. I think he's just over the top.
I just find him hilarious.
I think he's funny because he can't back it up.
Because when he talked about the 30-team playoff at SEC Media Days and then backtracked on Twitter and said that that's not how it came out, I listened to the press conference and that's exactly how it came out. Oh, yeah. So,
but going back to my bold take, I don't think South Carolina can replicate their 9-3 season from last year. And I mean, I think they make a bowl game. They go, you know, 7-8 wins, but I don't think they have as good of a season as people are thinking they're going to have.
Well, even if they do go 9-3, they went 9-3 last year and missed the playoff. And I was telling Connor, like, all these, besides Kentucky and Mississippi State, oh, I'm sorry, Frazier.
Oh, that's fake
besides
news.
Those two teams, I mean, everybody in the SEC thinks they're either going to take a step forward or stay stagnant to where they were last year.
That's fake news.
Somebody's going to have to take a step back.
That's fake news.
And I think it will be South Carolina because outside of Lenore Sellers, he has Nick Harbor, but I have questions about the wide receiver room and the tight end room as well. Who's going to be running the football? Their running back may not even be eligible. And then their defense was just rated by the NFL draft.
How dare you disrespect the two premier football programs?
I apologize, guys.
It's all right. I just ring the cowbell just to
speaking of Mississippi
out.
State.
That's no slight to Jeff Lebby or Mark Stoops.
Did you see Mississippi State's black jerseys they revealed yesterday?
They also revealed those all-white ones.
And the helmets? I saw the new helmets.
They're going to wear those against
those
Tennessee.
Are nice. Those Chef's are very kiss. Nice. Those Chef's are very kiss. Nice. Not Congratulations, Frazier. Those are nice.
Hey. If you're going to get beat, at least look good doing it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I to your point real quick before we go to break, South Carolina, I look at their recruiting classes. They're just not great. And for me, Shane Beamer, I don't think is really, I guess, capitalized on that. He's just kind of living off of Lenore Sellers' hype for the most part. Yes? No?
I think Lenore Sellers will definitely be a first-round pick.
That's where I kind of disagree with you is I think Lenore Sellers is the kind of quarterback to elevate South Carolina. to a 10-2 season.
And it may very well happen and me and Wallman look like idiots. But as it stands right now, someone is going to have to take a step back. Somebody is.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your calls and texts. Got some interesting bold takes on our text line. Oh, also a response to Parker Kelly's fall wedding proposal. We'll get to that next. Also coming up next, Michigan has been slapped on the wrist by a ruler by the NCAA. Nothing really comes of it. If the NCAA is a nun, Michigan is the student. We'll get to that next. Weekend Huddle here. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier here on 102.5 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom today for their lucky 13th anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville. It's a full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos from Black 13, face painting, balloon art game, and of course, ice cold beer. You get a $100 gift card half off while supplies last. TheGameNashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their lucky 13th anniversary party today at Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Still got some bold takes to get to. Let's real quick go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Eric with a bold take. Eric, what's up, my friend?
Hey, guys. Here's my bold take. So one of the things I've heard this year is a lot of people still think the Detroit Lions are going to be a top contender for a Super Bowl. I think they're going to take a major step back, guys, and I've got several reasons, and here's why. First of all, they lost Aaron Glenn on defense to the Jets head coach and Ben Johnson offense to be the Bears head coach. Last year, of course, in their division, they were undefeated. I don't think they're doing that again. But here's why, guys. Look at their schedule. First of all, they play Tampa Bay outside of the division and Baker Mayfield. I believe that game's in Detroit. They also play the Rams, depending on whether or not Matthew Stafford is playing. That game, I don't know if it's at L.A. or in Detroit. But then they, outside of that, they play the entire NFC East. They play Washington and Jaden Daniels, who beat them last year. They then also have to go to the defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia, and Jalen Hurts. They play, of course, Dak Prescott at home and the Giants at home. Then in the AFC, guys, if you remember, last year they played the entire AFC South, were undefeated, and they had to come from behind against the Texans, despite the fact Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
But this is the North and who they play. They play at Baltimore in a Monday night game. And by the way, Baltimore has the best record of an AFC team against NFC teams. They also have to go to Cincinnati and play Joe Burrow in that high-powered offense with the Bengals. They play, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. But the Steelers always have had good defenses, and they always give NFC teams trouble. And the Cleveland Browns. And, oh, by the way, the 17th game, the other AFC first-place team they got to play, they have to go to Kansas City and play Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. You tell me, they were undefeated on the road last year, and they play at Kansas City, Baltimore, at Cincinnati, at Washington, at Philadelphia. You think they're going to undefeated on the road with that schedule? And they only lost 3 games all at home, but they got torched by Jaden Daniels in the playoffs. And they also got torched by Josh Allen during the regular season at home against Buffalo. And with those top quarterbacks they faced, do you think they're going to go 15-2 guys again? I don't think so. They may make the playoffs, guys, but with that schedule, I don't see them winning the division or being as good as last year. That's why I think Detroit could take a major step back this year. Guys, y'all take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. That's a great call.
That was a fantastic call.
I think it's a fair point to think that the Lions will take a step back, and I do think they will take a step back. I don't know if they can replicate the same success that they had last year. But you also got to look at this roster. I mean, Jared Goff is not the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's a game manager, and he gets the job done. You have probably a top 5 receiver in the NFL in Amon-Ra St. Brown. You have Sam Laporta, who's probably a top 3 tight end in the NFL.
Don't forget about Jameson Williams.
Jameer Gibbs. David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Sonic and who's the other?
Knuckles.
Sonic and Knuckles, yeah.
And plus you're getting defensive pieces back in Aiden Hutchinson. Josh Pascal is over there, former Kentucky Wildcat.
Jameson Williams, man. He's really started to figure it out. But they get Aiden Hutchinson back. So here's the thing. I mean, Eric's right. Like, I don't think they're going to go 15-2, especially with that schedule.
And it's a valid concern to have.
Right. Like
Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson.
They lose 8 assistant coaches, including both of their coordinators. So I think it's fair to assume that they will take a step back. But I think that NFC, the NFC, it's the Eagles, and it's been the Lions, and then kind of everybody else.
Yeah.
So I really think that the Lions will be in playoff contention, but they're not going to go 15-2, and I don't think they'll be a Super Bowl contender.
I mean, I don't see them going 15-2 either, but I still think they're a Super Bowl contender in my eyes. I can't I can't just say they're not, because they've proven that they belong in that conversation. With the talent they have on offense, and again, mentioning Aiden Hutchinson back in the fold, this is a team that has a young core that has a lot of bright future ahead of them. So I definitely see them still in the Super Bowl, you know, picture. As for their schedule, I mean, it depends on what the Bears are this year. If the Bears can be a really good team as to what they did in the draft, and you know, there's been stuff online about DJ Moore being in the backfield and doing stuff that way, that may be an option for them, and that may be a little twist to Detroit's plans against them. I don't know. But they just have a weird, you know, slew of games where it goes Bears, Ravens. They have a little, you know, cupcake with the Browns for the most part, looking at it on paper, and then Bengals, Chiefs. That, to me, that is like Murder's Row. You just can't get past
it's a tough schedule, but I think they have a good roster, and I mean, we've seen them blow teams out with that roster. And granted, it was with a different coaching staff, but...
Right. Well, the roster, I mean, there's plenty of talent, and I think they did a great job in the draft getting Tyleek Williams from Ohio State for that interior defensive line, Isaac Tesla, a receiver from Arkansas who's really come on.
Yeah, he's been
good. So I want to walk back what I said, because I do think you guys are right about the Lions being a Super Bowl contender, because they've proven that they belong. And for the most part, these players are already developed. There's not a whole lot of developing you have to do when you're 4 or 5 years into your NFL career. So, yes, it is a blow losing 8 assistant coaches, but the talent is still there.
Now, the only way they're not a Super Bowl contender this year is if they somehow crap the bed and Dan Campbell gets canned, which I doubt
canned
that would happen.
Campbell.
But, you know, yeah, canned Campbell. There you go.
I call him Can Damble because I do it with Dan Lanning too. Like, I'll call Dan Lanning Land Danning.
And Dan Campbell's a top coach in the NFL. So he's still there, but losing 8 assistant coaches, that's tough.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. You can keep texting and calling. Real quick, we have an update on the fall wedding proposal.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Evan on our text line says, my wife's family are huge Tennessee fans, and her cousin that graduated from UT is getting married on Saturday when it's UT versus UGA. We had tickets to the game and now can't go because of the wedding. Preach it, brother.
Well.
Well,
getting support one person at a time. Okay. One person at a time.
Well, your first mistake was buying tickets to that game, because Tennessee's not winning that one.
Yeah, I bet say, one, you've lost out on your money, and two, you're not missing anything.
Yeah, don't worry. Nah,
no. If you're a fan, you're watching in the tough times and in the good times. No fair weather fans. No fair weather fans around here. I told my wife that I sit and I watch till the end, even if my team's getting blown out.
I didn't say anything about fair weather fan.
I remember the Derek Dewey days. I sat through those games.
I didn't say anything about this.
Did we just detonate a TNT? What's going on here?
A little bit. Sorry, guys. You know I get fired up about this topic.
I don't know what trigger I pressed, but I just said you're not winning that game, and then it became, I've sat through the Derek Dewey days, and I know what misery looks like. I'm like, oh my God.
If that gentleman needs me to speak on behalf of him, I'd be more than willing to. I'd be more than willing to.
I mean, you're talking to the king of college football misery right here. Yeah. So I don't need to hear your
My glory
story.
Days are in the mid to 2010s. So now
those were great. Yeah. Those were great.
Speaking of misery being dealt out in college football, or rather not, Michigan has been hit with the death penalty. Not actually. Michigan got about
no more death penalties.
$20 million fine for their sign-stealing scandal involving Connor Stallions and Jim Harbaugh and that whole bunch. Jim Harbaugh has been giving a 10-year show cause, meaning he's banned from college football. He can't come back for 10 more years. And Connor Stallions has been given an 8-year show cause. Sharon Moore will serve a 1-game suspension. Guys, I don't know about you.
In 2026.
In 2026, not this
year. Which
is
confusing in it.
Isn't he facing they had a self-imposed 2-game suspension this
year. Right, and that still stands. So it's a 3-game suspension.
Right.
Central Michigan in week 3, Nebraska week 4.
Central Michigan.
And Western Michigan in 2026.
Watch out for the Chippewas.
Scary.
Just saying, watch out for the Chippewas.
So I just don't I think that whole thing was funny, because you self-imposed the suspension. But why? I get wanting to be there for the Oklahoma game, since that's his alma mater. But why Nebraska? Nebraska could be a sneaky dark horse playoff team.
I'm assuming the self-imposed, I guess, suspension was because more than likely NCAA was like, you know what, we're going to suspend you for all the Big Ten games that we can.
Yeah, and they're trying to say, hey, we're punishing ourselves. You don't need to punish us anymore. But the NCAA still came in with something.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about this in the next segment, too.
I pose, we'll get to this on the other side. I pose the question to you. If this were Washington State, would the death penalty be dealt out? Hold that thought. We'll get to it on the other side. And I open that up to the text line as well. If Michigan were Washington State or a lower tier Power Four program like that, TCU, something like that, would they face the death penalty for the scandals that Michigan has committed? That's up next here on Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, Nick Frazier, 102.5 The Game. Fire guy.
Great song.
Weekend Huddle brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Wealth management advice for you no matter your current situation or stage in life. Saturday mornings here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here alongside you for the next hour and a half. We are discussing the whole Michigan scandal. Essentially, the NCAA decided they're a blue blood. Let's not punish them. So I pose the question to you two. If Michigan was Washington or Washington State or TCU or one of these low-end Power Four programs, would they have just been given the death penalty, strapped straight to the electric chair and sucked out of all contention for college football for the next 30 years?
Yes, 100% yes, because the NCAA has no power over these Power Four schools. I mean, the big Power Four schools in the Big Ten and SEC. So if you're going to the Big 12 or Pac-12 or the MAC or whatever, NCAA, I think, has a little bit more jurisdiction over those schools to where they can say, you know what, we're going to give a $50 million sanction on your school for this penalty or so forth. I think that's where you're going to see a lot more of that. And then again, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer.
I'm going to say no, because I think the NCAA is doing away with these types of penalties. We're not going to see the death penalty that was given to SMU back in the 80s. We're not going to see that anymore just because the NCAA, and this is the part I do agree with Frazier, they don't have any power. So even if they do want to punish a Washington State, they want to punish a TCU, they can't, because the conference will then come after the NCAA, and boom, they're getting taken back to court where they have been absolutely dominated over the last couple of years. So it was a slap on the wrist by Michigan. They got off soft, and now Michigan's appealing it. So the saga's not over, gentlemen.
Yeah, it is not over. Michigan is appealing the settlement that came out yesterday afternoon. I am in the camp of, yes, if this was a Power Four program, they would probably get a much harsher penalty. I don't know about the death penalty, but I do think it would be the NCAA saying, hey, we're going to set an example. We're going to get back control of what we are in charge of. And I think that would start with, you know, we're going to give you a postseason ban for the next 5 years. We're going to limit your recruiting options, especially if it was a team out west. We're going to suspend your head coach for half of the season. I think it would be a much, much harsher penalty, but I don't know. I think this is the NCAA trying to protect its blue bloods. We like college football better when Michigan is relevant. We like call it, like, if it was Ohio State, I think it would be the same thing. If it was Notre Dame, it'd be the same thing.
And they tried to do it with Tennessee and couldn't.
Yes.
So
I think this is them trying to protect their blue bloods and trying to keep relevancy to the top teams in college football. I don't think they would necessarily have that problem if this were Washington State or Kansas or something like that.
And they can't necessarily reduce scholarships, because scholarships are kind of becoming a thing of the past.
Yes.
Now it's roster spots instead of allotted scholarships.
Your roster, your NIL collective is dignified,
right? Because it's
your roster spot.
You have a cap now, a salary cap of what you can pay your athletes. So they're not really. And baseball is actually one of the sports that's really struggling with this, because football and basketball, they're getting all the revenue, so they can't afford to have as many players on the team.
Let me get back in the camera. That's probably good.
To your point, though, about the financial, you know, banning and so forth when it comes to college football playoff and all that, how the NCAA is evolving. It says here 10% of the program's financial revenue from the 2024 season, which was $72 million, they'll take out $7.2 million of that. And then 2 years going into the future, so this year and next year, if they make the playoff, they will take out a certain percentage out of that.
Right, and we have college coordinators now making millions of dollars. This is pocket change.
Yeah.
So this is exactly what it's not a death penalty by any means. It's a slap on the wrist. but yet Michigan, which is why I'm so surprised that Michigan is trying to fight it, because they got off easy.
Yeah.
They could have had way worse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Connor, what do you think about this?
I don't know. I think it is a major slap on the wrist, and I think it's pocket change, especially for a big-time program like Michigan. I'm just wondering why it took so long to come to this conclusion. Like, why did – I understand you got to go
through – Nothing's ever quick with the NCAA.
Well, that's true. I mean, we've got this whole John Mateer situation going on. They're going to ban him from college football in 5 years when he's in the NFL. But I'm just wondering why it took – I understand there's legal action that needs to be taken, and you got to go through the courts, and you got to go through all the administration and stuff like that. But this happened 2 years ago. Michigan has already won that national championship, which is still legitimate, by the way. That's another thing I'm surprised that they didn't put an asterisk by that national championship. But why are we giving John's the Ravens coach, Jim Harbaugh, a show cause for 10 years saying he can't return to the college game when he's long gone?
This is why he went to the NFL.
I mean, this
was
exactly
coming.
Why.
So he has no plans on returning to college anytime
he's
soon.
He's done.
So
let's remember, too, he has a 4-year show cause on top of his 10-year.
Yeah.
He's already serving a 4-year.
Right.
That's 14 years.
Now, Connor, and why was maybe it's because, you know, the head coach is in charge of this, but why is Connor Stallions only given an 8-year show cause?
When he was the main ringleader.
Yes. Why is he not? Why is he not, you know, indefinitely banned from college football?
It's just like trying to make sense of insanity. I mean, you can't really do it.
I was talking to Big Joe about this. He was on the air, off the air. But, you know, that whole documentary came out on Netflix with Connor Stallions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that helped his case out a little bit. It may have.
I didn't think they peeled back the curtain too much on that.
No.
But didn't somebody, I think it was the University of Michigan, that bought the tickets for him to go to those games. Like, it was funneled through some sort of booster, right?
Yeah.
I have that wrong, or is that correct?
No, I believe that is right. I remember, I think there was a segment on the Dan Patrick Show about this in 2023 where it was charged to like a university credit card.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. Yes. Yeah,
because I remember he would sit behind the home team, like the team he's scouting, he would sit behind their bleachers, because I remember it was talked about when he went to the Tennessee game versus Kentucky in 2022. He sat in a certain spot where he could see the quarterbacks and the GAs signaling in place. So it was charged to a university like credit card.
Yeah, and that famous clip of him at Central Michigan, like, there's no hiding. We all knew it was you. And so. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think the whole 8-year show cause for Connor Stallions, I think it's appropriate. I don't think it's not too much or not too little. I think it's like right on the spot. Just because the guy's, coaching in high school football right now? Is that correct, Connor?
And he'll stay there. Because, I mean,
he's the head coach.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he didn't serve much of a role on Michigan's staff. Like, I think he was, he was a scout, right?
Yeah, he would basically... He said it in the documentary. He had a photographic memory, so he'd basically scout, you know, tendencies and hand gestures as to what other teams would do. And
that was his job.
Report,
that was his dedicated job, was deciphering the hand signals, which is legal. Just the way he went about it was clearly illegal. But
I mean, he's kind of hit his ceiling in college or high school football. I think knowing all the dirt on him, he'll never show up in the NFL. He'll be like a high school coach. Maybe he'll coach around the DAC or something like that. But I don't know. An 8-year show cause as opposed to a 10-year show cause for the head coach. And I understand the head coach is probably the one that organized all of this, and maybe that's what they found. But when Connor Stallions is the central point of this entire situation, why is he given the lesser of the penalty? That's just my opinion.
My reasoning would be because Harbaugh knew about it, but Jim Harbaugh said he didn't know about it, but
very clearly did.
Yeah.
Why is he in the NFL right now? Because he knew this was coming. He didn't want to be involved in this whole scandal still in college football. If he is in college football right now, chances are, A, he's fired, and B, he doesn't have a job in the NFL because he's shadow banned from college football. Why would the NFL hire him knowing all this dirt on him?
And I'm glad the NCAA did not give the players a postseason ban, because it's unfair to punish the guys that were not on the team in 2023. And especially when you're waiting this long to make a decision. We've been talking about it. That's the thing, Connor, that you brought up. the national title is not illegitimate now, because we knew about Connor Stallions before they went on their national championship run. Mm-hmm. We knew about it well before the season started, and they handicapped Michigan by suspending Jim Harbaugh twice during that season, one by the Big Ten, one by the NCAA, and they still won the thing. And it just takes a common sense football fan to see that the talent that they had was better than everybody else's.
It is, but there's a reason for that. And that's why I think they should have put an asterisk by that title.
What was the reason?
They illegally recruited players.
They didn't illegally recruit anybody.
Yes, they did.
They stole the signs. That was the illegal part about it, but that was before 2023. Connor Stallions wasn't on the staff by that point.
Well, this was a different scandal. They illegally recruited players. Harbaugh served a 3-game suspension for it. Remember?
That was for sign stealing. Mm-mm. Both of the, are you talking about both suspensions in 2023?
Mm-mm.
No, I think what Connor's talking about is Harbaugh took, and I think it was a recruit, and bought him a burger.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? So that was the reason they won the bought the recruit a burger, and that's what led to the national championship?
That's what led to the national championship is 100% the sign stealing, but what Connor's referencing is a 3-game suspension that was served in 2023, correct?
Yeah.
That Harbaugh took a player out to eat. This has been a long, Philip Fulmer did it at Tennessee with Arian Foster. Where he was giving him money to go buy Taco Bell because Arian Foster didn't have any money on his meal plan or whatever it was. Harbaugh took a recruit out to a local restaurant in Ann Arbor and bought him a burger, spent $50, and the NCAA found out about it.
Considered a recruiting violation.
Yeah, right. And it was,
But before NIL, did or did not teams pay players under the table?
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, we could go back and play revisionist history all we want. Alabama's national championship in the 2010s, illegitimate because we could do that all day. But, you're telling me, that was one player. Too.
I mean, I think it's a stupid rule. Because
how many players did they have drafted in 23 and even this past year?
I mean, I'm with you. I think that if a coach wants to spend his money his way when it comes to treating a high school player to a recruit, to a meal, I mean, I feel like he should be able to do that. I think the NCAA spends all this time looking for ways to find teams punishable for stuff like this when you've got a sign stealing scandal that rocks the college football world that needs to be taken care of. But I'm gonna punish this guy, I'm gonna punish Joe Blow at Scarbini State buying a kid a burger.
It goes back to what Connor said though about the beginning of it all. NCAA has no power, so they have to do these sanctions.
That's great. 615-737-1025. Please text or call in. Coming up next, Tennessee has signed with Adidas heading forward. What does this mean for the current landscape of college football? We'll get to that next. Weekend Huddle here. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly just discussed the ruler smack on the wrist by the NCAA. Were you ever smacked on the hand with a ruler? I think that was a bit past us.
That was before our time. Yeah. Before our time.
I wasn't. I did go to school with religious sisters.
Yeah, but you went to JP too.
Well, they didn't have sisters, right? But I went to elementary and middle school at St. Henry. So
okay.
we had religious sisters. Nice people, very nice people.
Great school,
fun to be around. I mean, we went to the mother house all the time, and it was a fun time.
Oh, I forgot, we do have a little in station rivalry here. Father Ryan, well, JP too.
Not just that, but parochial league back in the day when St. Henry's had a football team. I think they still do. It was St. Henry's.
I didn't play
Edwards.
Football, but yeah. You were probably in high school by the time I was playing sports. But,
yeah.
You know, we do have a little bit of, but we also are like brothers in a roundabout way.
Yes.
Parker, I don't know if you know this, but my dad was Nick Frazier's physical education teacher.
He was.
Really?
So I'm in such great shape.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Shout out to Rick.
Yeah, shout out to Rick.
Rick.
So let's talk about Tennessee. They sign with Adidas, which I've seen a lot of Vol Twitter melting down about, which I quite honestly don't understand. I understand they made some really terrible uniforms back in the day, but it's reported that Tennessee has, to use a wrestling term, creative control of what they put out there and what they wear on the field. But I want to talk more about the more beyond the jerseys. Tennessee with Nike was getting $5 million in NIL funds. Now with Adidas, as they are now probably the lead horse in football for Adidas, they're getting $20 million back in NIL collectives.
Annually.
What does this mean for the future of NIL recruiting and the future of football in Tennessee?
So this is basically Danny White finding a creative, competitive advantage in doing so, because Adidas wants to make Tennessee the flagship, the flagship of really all their sports. And basically this is going to help the NIL revenue sharing budget. And the details of the deal were not disclosed because it would provide a competitive advantage. But schools basically have to do whatever they can nowadays to find a way to get the edge on getting NIL money. And this was Tennessee's way of doing it. And you go where you're wanted. If Nike is not willing, Nike wasn't even willing to negotiate the offer once Adidas put it out there. I think it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think it was brilliant in that negotiation. The only difference here is you're wearing a different patch on your jersey. And I understand there's concern about the quality and what it's made of. Is it, it's made of like a different mesh material or something like that. But would you rather be the lead horse for brand number two and make more money, or be just another Nike school?
Take brand number two, yep. Because guess what that could turn into? You could be brand number one. Exactly.
And it's across all sports. Now, basketball, there are some key programs that wear Adidas. Kansas is probably the lead dog in the Adidas apartment for basketball.
Louisville.
You have some others.
A&M.
But Tennessee can make a name for themselves in Adidas. Obviously, they're making a lot more money annually. That can help their recruiting a ton. And, you know, maybe someone one day will be proud to wear that orange Adidas.
Right. And Chad Withrow came on DVD yesterday, and I thought he made an excellent point, because personally, I would much rather wear Nike than Adidas.
Right.
But if someone is offering me $20 million a year, and that goes to helping my athletes and, you know, produce winning on the field, then I'm going to take that. And Tennessee, given what their athletic department has done with all sports, not just football, could make Adidas cool. So I think
Adidas
it's a
cool brand.
It is, right. Like, it's not terrible or anything, but like, I just personally have always preferred Nike.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a selling point some of these schools use. Like for Kentucky, for example, especially in basketball, they're saying, we are a Nike basketball school. That means you come to our school, you will get all the Nike gear, shoes, hoodies, shirts, shorts. I mean, that's a selling point. The schools that have the biggest selling point is North Carolina, Michigan, Oklahoma, Florida, and UCLA. Why? Because they have Jordan. And those kids love Jordan branding. But that's not to say, I think Adidas looks good on the jersey. I think, granted, they have made some really terrible jerseys in the past, but Tennessee now has control of what they do. I think they could bring back the old block lettering or the block numbers. I think they could do something really cool with throwbacks. You know, you still have your dark mode that I think they'll keep around. I think they can do some really good stuff. And look, I don't think kids care as much about the branding now as they do what do the jerseys look like.
Because if Adidas comes and offers them an NIL deal worth however much money, you think they're going to turn it down?
Let me just say this, and Connor may relate to this a little bit. Coming and working, not working, but, you know, playing for a Catholic school in Nashville, there was a big uniform issue because of sweatshops back in the day.
Yeah.
And so, like, looking at what brand could you really wear, for us it was Russell. This whole conversation of Adidas, Nike, I'm all for going to a wonderful uniform that feels good when you play. You got to be the athlete that's like, you know what, I like Adidas. Oh, I like Nike. Like for me, I'd choose Adidas over Nike. One, because I got wide feet. Wide feet are
I have
really
a wide toe.
Adidas.
I just got my nail cut out.
Yeah, you have that. So like
a personal preference, you know.
Yeah, so I think it's more of you have to get your players on board with this before you kind of ink deals like that.
Now, the only – I don't think any player is going to look down at their chest and the first thing they see is an Adidas and be like, I made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Mark Pope says it best. You're not playing for the brand on the jersey. You're playing for the name across the chest.
Right.
If I'm Tennessee, I'm not selling on, hey, we have Adidas jerseys. I'm selling on, hey, we have a traditional program that I, Josh Heupel, am building. We're building something great. We're going to go compete for a championship. If you like it, you are in.
Well, think about Patrick Mahomes, the best football player in the world. Adidas. He's sponsored by Adidas.
He's Under
Texas
Armor.
Tech. No, it's Adidas.
Patrick
Texas Tech used to be sponsored by Under Armour, but they've switched to Adidas because of Mahomes. And he sponsors, I think, around 15 players on the Texas Tech, somewhere in their athletic department.
The only
Texas A&M, number one recruiting class a couple years ago, Adidas. So Mike Matthews, the Tennessee's one of their he's probably going to be wide receiver one this year, was asked about it. And he basically did not care. As long as this helps winning on the field, which is what athletes care about most, and they're going to get some money.
Yeah.
Who cares?
The only program in the nation with branding that I would never play for is Boston College, because they switched to New Balance, and their new uniforms look awful.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Lord. I mean, they're terrible. Speaking of awful uniforms, let's open up the phone and text lines, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on the other side. What is the worst college football uniform of all time? I've got some options. I'm sure you guys do as well. We'll hit that on the other side. Again, 615-737-1025. Give us a call or a text. Let us know your answer. We will get to that on the other side here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game.